The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Breaking story in the past few hours. It seems that there is significant white smoke of a development of an agreement on a withdrawal draft text between the EU task force and the UK negotiators. This leak is supposed to have come to Tony Connolly of RTE in Brussels. And of course, the Taoiseach there saying, tut tut, I know nothing about this. I've been out of things. Take it from me. If you ever leak something on your side, you want to be a million miles away from the leak. So, well, I knew nothing about it. But at the same time, you're currying favour with the journalist. So you get someone to do the leak and then you order an inquiry into it, because then the Brits and the Eurocrats can't say to you, was it you who leaked it? You're jeopardising the whole deal. So that's clever politics. The second bit of clever politics I like is Theresa May is apparently calling the members of her cabinet in advance of a 2 p.m. full cabinet meeting tomorrow in one by one, which means she can look into the whites of their eyes and say, now, dear, this is the text. If you have any queries, you can tell me your views on it. But just to remind you that I have a rake of backbenchers who'd love to be cabinet secretary for A, B and C. And, you know, life is ready to move on. There'll be another 26A bus coming along. If you don't like it, on a one-to-one basis, you can arm wrestle them. It's a great pleasure. We're going to be speaking shortly to Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent, who's attended a government briefing. But Matthew Paris, a man I've been looking to speak to for some time, columnist with the London Times and former Conservative MP, joins us from London. Matthew, what do you make of it all?
It's rather surprising. It rather echoes what Brussels has been saying yesterday and the day before, that that we were close to some kind of an agreement, that Theresa May was going to tell the cabinet what was under discussion. And Downing Street replied that this was not the case and there was still a little way to go. And then suddenly it is the case after all. So it sounds as though they have negotiated their way to something that she can talk to the cabinet about. Now, that's at the same time as this afternoon, the government have caved in the face of certain defeat otherwise this evening in the House of Commons, and agreed that they're going to publish the full legal advice that they have on backstop and backstop to backstop and the Irish border and all that. So what everyone at Westminster now is doing is speculating on how it is that agreement has been reached on something that really did appear to be beyond reach. And the speculation is that she's caved in, not completely caved in, but that she has moved, that Brussels has not moved, and that she's now going to try to persuade her ministers one by one that this is the best we can get.
Yeah, Matthew, and none of this comes as a surprise. For the last month, I've been predicting, based on my Brussels sources, that her plan was that she would return to both Cabinet and Parliament and say, you may not like this deal, it may be a fudge, but it has one important thing. In the transition period, Britain stays in the single market. The prescription pills, the lights and the planes all stay going for 3 years. I've delivered institutional withdrawal of Brexit. It could be in name only. And you know what? If you don't agree to this, there's going to be no transition period. There's going to be the worst type of cliff edge on April Fool's Day. And you know what? Even if it takes two or three votes, you've got to accept this because it's the only show in town. Do you not see that she might get hardcore Tory Brexiteers down to maybe a dozen when they're faced with that prospect, a general election and the lights going out?
Well, you've made that point very persuasively indeed. You should be by her side tomorrow trying to help persuade them. I've actually moved, I shared your view and have for the last 6 or 7 months. I've moved towards thinking that quite a few of the Brexiteers and quite a few now of the Remainers have so hardened their hearts against the sort of shape of deal that you and I expect there will be, that she is not yet within sight of commanding the arithmetic in a meaningful vote. But she only does things one thing at a time, one foot in front of the other. And the present step that she wants to take is to get most of the cabinet on board. There may be a couple of resignations, but to get
give us some insight into that. Who do you think would be most likely to resign? Like, we have Fox, we have people have already gone, three or four. Who do you think are the people to watch out for?
I think it might not be the big beasts in the cabinet for a start. I think it might be people like Penny Mordaunt, for instance. She's one who could go. That's quite possible. It might be second liners who go. Liam Fox never seems to take the opportunity to walk out. I don't think Michael Gove will. He's talking about resigning, not resigning at the moment. So we shall see. But she may well suffer. I think she could probably take a couple of casualties. She's taken a few before. But then, of course, it is the backbenchers that she's got to win over. And unlike you, I am not sure that you may not like it, but the alternative is you might lose Brexit altogether. I'm not sure that is now going to be enough to persuade a sizable number of people.
I defer to your wisdom on that. My thinking is that if she lost the first vote and it looked like a general election or whatever, you might get non-Tory MPs who might rescue her to get it across the line. What do you think of that?
Well, you're quite right about the possibility of a second vote. You know, she loses the meaningful vote, but not by very much. And then she comes back to the House a week or 2 weeks later talking about the possibility of a general election. And I think that would scare, actually, I think that would be designed to frighten her own side more than Labour. I don't think she's going to get many defections from Labour to her cause. But that might frighten quite a few Tories back. You're right. Everything is still to play for. But it doesn't look to me as likely as it did a few months ago that talk of the whole thing collapsing would send most Tories scuttling back into the government lobby.
And would there not be MPs who would be fearful of an election in these circumstances?
Yes, all MPs are a bit fearful of an election. The two things that most dominate an MP's mind are one, will I retain my seat at the next election? And two, might I be made a minister?
Indeed.
And never
All good career moves, I would have thought. Yeah. Finally, therefore, the thinking that if she wins tomorrow, persuades the cabinet, that will be the biggest domino of persuading the MPs.
Well, I think win would be too large a statement for what she could hope to achieve. But if she survives tomorrow with most of the cabinet still with her, then she lives to fight another day. I would put it more modestly like that.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you again. Many thanks indeed. Columnist with the London Times, former Tory MP, Matthew Paris. Thank you. Let's get a quick update from Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. What are the government saying, Sean?
Ivan, well, the government is saying they've seen absolutely no sign of a deal, and as far as they're concerned, their talks are still ongoing on this. A spokesperson for the Taoiseach just said in the last half hour that the withdrawal talks are ongoing and haven't concluded, that negotiators are still engaged and a number of issues are still outstanding. In the last half hour as well, the government press secretary Nick Miller giving a press briefing there, saying that there's not a lot they can say at the moment. Nothing has been confirmed to the Irish government, that they know that meeting tomorrow with Theresa May and her cabinet is going on, and that power play, as you mentioned this evening, with her ministers. They said that would be fantastic news if it's going on, but also the government making it clear that they have not changed their position at all when it comes to the backstop, and it is clear that the unless and until backstop is the one that they want, and there won't be any shifting on that. So it does look, or on the face of it, without having seen any deal, like there may have been some concession or some back down from Theresa May. A number of different politicians trying to react to this evening, but largely reacting blindly, as they haven't seen a text. Lisa Chambers from Fianna Fáil saying if it turns out to be true, it could be positive, and obviously we want a deal. Others saying that, you know, if this is what we have on the table, then it's progress. But of course, we've seen this before when it looked as though there was a deal and done, and then it saw the cruel light of political reality and got shelved again. This is the officials talking, not the politicians talking to each other. I know people were pulled out of meetings in Ivy House today, scrambling to the media leaks and media reports to see what was the story and where we were. But as far as the government's concerned, they haven't seen anything on paper.
Okay, Sean, I don't believe a word of it. I'm telling you now that you disown your own leaks. Like, who would give an Irish correspondent a leak like this? Only someone friendly to a domestic player. The fact of the matter is you cannot get blamed for the leak, especially if anything goes wrong. But to me, the fact that the British Cabinet meeting going ahead is a no-brainer that a deal has been done and they're ready to roll the dice.